Well, what's up? Happy Sunday, Journey family. How you guys doing this morning? And I am so glad to be here with all of you. My name's Abby. I'm our Next Steps pastor, and just really honored that Pastor Mark and Susie would give me this opportunity to share with all of you on this Mother's Day weekend. And I would love to start off this morning by giving a big welcome to everyone joining us, not just online, but also at our Hocassin location. So Newark, will you help me show them some love? We're so glad that you are part of our Journey family. And as you know, it is Mother's Day weekend. And so, of course, a big happy Mother's Day to all of those moms out there. And I would be remiss if I didn't get to show you a picture of my kids, all right? It's Mother's Day weekend, right? Humor me. These are my two little boys, future online hosts right here, right? And so, moms, we are so glad that you're here, and this weekend want to honor our biological moms, our foster moms, our adoptive moms, our bonus moms. I hope that you feel so loved and celebrated this weekend, and yes, you deserve it. You deserve it, and I have been saying, I hope that you get to drink your coffee hot today. That is my wish and my prayer for you. And I also acknowledge, I know that this weekend can be a hard one for some of you. Maybe for you, you have lost your mom. Maybe you're somebody who is a mom who's lost a child. Maybe you're somebody who wants to be a mom and is struggling with infertility. And I want to take a moment and I want you to know that we see you and we see your grief and your pain, but way more importantly than that, God sees you. And he's with you in that loss and in that pain. And I would love to just take a moment before we start today and pray over all of our moms out there. So God, we just open our hearts to you. We thank you so much for who you are. God, we are grateful to be in your presence. And Lord, I pray over our moms this weekend, God, that you would give us a sense of joy and peace in the midst of what can feel so chaotic at times. And God, I pray for those of us who are struggling this weekend, God, that you would be our source of comfort and strength. And God, I pray for all of us, all of our women who are part of this church, God, that you would allow us to step into our mothering voices so that we can mother and raise up another generation of people who love you just by looking at the way that we live. God, we thank you for it. We offer all of that in your name. Amen. Amen. So let's jump into this weekend. As you heard, we are in our series, Time of Your Life, which is all about reframing the way that we see time. And here's what I know about time. When it comes to how we feel about it, we just feel like we do not have enough of it, right? We talked a little bit about that last weekend. Brad had such a great message. And I know many of us, moms included, can feel like we are in a race against time in our lives. We're trying to do it all, trying to be it all, and it can feel like we don't have enough of it. Enough time, resources, help, experience. I mean, some of us may have come to church today flat out exhausted from that rat race of life. It's like we've got so many things vying for our attention. Kids, spouses, friends, teachers, bosses, fiancés, hobbies, and that's not to mention the bills to pay and the appointments to make and the tests to take. It can feel like we are running through life at a reckless pace, and sometimes we don't even really know where we're running to. I mean, we're just running, and many of us are used to this kind of metaphorical running through life, but I have to acknowledge that I'm one of those people who enjoys running literally, all right? Now, if you've been to our church for any length of time, you know Pastor Mark has climbed a mountain. I have run a marathon. It's like this is our thing. I don't have a lot of interest. I have one. It's running, okay? How many of you are runners? Any runners in here? How about Hocassin, online? Okay, there's a couple of you. How many of you are proud to say you are not a runner? So many of you, okay. You got like that 0.0 sticker on your car. It's going to be a long 35 minutes, but we can do it. All right, so here's the thing. I actually did not grow up running. I never really ran when I was in high school. My senior year of college, I got this bright idea that I wanted to run a half marathon. And so I took about 5 months and I started training. And just like the first time you do anything in life, I really had no idea what I was doing. I was a total rookie. So I just went out in old sneakers that didn't have any cushioning. I would wear these old socks and I would end my runs with these like horrific blisters. Like, I will not go into detail. I could never really understand how people drank water and ran at the same time. Okay, because think about it, you're like sloshing around, your hands are sweaty, it's like coming out, you're choking because you're trying to, so the whole thing was like, I didn't know how to do it. So I would just run for 5 months without water, totally parched. I had no clue what I was doing. But 5 months later, I crossed the finish line of my very first half marathon. It was not pretty, but I did it. And fast forward 10 years, I have learned a lot of things. And the first thing is that running is free. I don't know if you knew that. You can just go outside, you can run, it's free. But for a sport that is free, the running industry sure has figured out how to make a lot of money off of it. And I know, because I've spent all the money. I've got the shoes, I've got the handheld water bottle, I've got the gels, I've got the moisture-wicking socks, and like, I've got all of it, because I've learned that very first time training that how you train for a race makes a big difference in how you perform on race day. And so when you are running a literal race, where you're going is clear. I mean, you know, you're just trying to get to the finish line, and how well you train determines how quickly you get to that finish line. But when it comes to the race of life, things are not always so clear. Think about it. Many of us have found ourselves in this place where we are just running from one appointment to another, one meeting to another, one class to another, and we are thinking, what's the point? And when we zoom out of just our everyday trying to survive, many of us are still left with that question, what's my purpose? Where am I running to? Why am I trying to run so quickly? And we are running through life without remembering why we're running in the first place. And so the scripture that we're going to look at today really helps us remember our why. And it's a letter from the Apostle Paul, and it was written to a group of believers in a city called Corinth. And so we're going to pick it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul is talking to these people about what he's focused on. In other words, where he's running to, his purpose. And he says this, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. That was his why. And what you've got to understand, maybe you're new to the Bible. I know when I first started coming to the journey, I wasn't very familiar with the Bible, but if you start to dig into it, you start to realize that this is just one part of one letter that Paul writes to the early church. And the second part of the Bible is full of letters that he's written. And if you start to study those letters, one thing is clear. He's got one purpose in life, to tell people about Jesus. That's it. Hard stop. I mean, he is direct, even brash at times in this purpose. And you've got to understand that Paul was not just sitting around writing letters because he had nothing better to do. No. Paul was busy. He was on mission, traveling around, telling people about Jesus, experiencing some pretty intense persecution because of his faithful dedication to Jesus. I mean, this dude was busy. But in all of it, in every action, every trip, every letter that he wrote, every conversation, we get this sense that he had a clear purpose. He did everything to tell people about Jesus. And so Paul was running hard. He really was, but he was not running hard without a reason. He had a clear why. And so this weekend, I want to challenge us with this question. Do we have a clear why? Paul knew why he was running. Have we remembered why we're running? And so Paul continues, and he starts to use an analogy here that many of us are going to be familiar with. He talks about our life being like a race. So check this out. He says, don't you realize that in a race, Everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Now, I know, at least for many of you in this room, you are not a runner. So let me give you a little piece of advice for all the recreational runners out there. If somebody has run a race, do not ask them, "Did you win?" Of course, I did not win. There were 10,000 people at this race. Like, I am not an Olympic athlete. I got this medal because I ran my race. Now, I know some of you, especially you guys out there, you're like, this is the problem with America, right? Just participation trophies. You get a medal, you get a medal. Everybody's a winner, right? But that is not what Paul is talking about. He's not talking about everybody getting a participation trophy for winning this faith race. No, he's saying that we are all running the race that God set out before us. He's saying that we cannot compare our race to someone else's. Because for all of us who believe in Jesus, we're going the same direction. I mean, thank goodness, we're going towards eternity with Jesus. But our race, that process, is going to look different for every one of us. God did not design someone else's race for us. God designed our race for us. And that's why it's so important that we remember that, because something that I have learned in running, which is true in our lives as well, is that the quickest way to lose a race is looking behind you and beside you and losing sight of what's in front of you. And Paul says, you gotta keep looking in front of you. Run your race. We can only win this race of life if we know where we're going. Now, if you don't consider yourself a believer, you can take a pass on this next part. But listen, if you have made that decision to put your faith in Jesus, I want you to ask yourself, do you have the same focus that Paul had? Or have you started to let yourself look behind you at your past or get distracted by other people around you, scrolling on social media and starting to compare your race to their race? Or do you remember, are you doing everything in your life? Everything you say, everything you think, everything you do, who you invest in, the relationships you have, are they all pointed towards Jesus? Or have you gotten off track? Have you started to take another route? I think it can be so difficult because, listen, we've got good things in our lives. And so many of us, myself included at times, get distracted by those good things in life, trying to serve our kids or our spouses or our parents or our bosses or trying to get into this college or trying to get that job. And we get so distracted by good things that we forget the most important thing, seeking Jesus in all and through all and above all. And if we forget to seek Jesus first, our running has no point. It's just making us tired. It's not leading anywhere. So we've got to run with purpose. And this is how Paul continues. He says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that'll fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Now, I recognize that some of this with discipline, I mean, some of us are like, yeah, discipline, that's what I want. I'm all about that. But have you ever trained for something or practiced for something? Maybe you're not a runner, but you are a PhD student getting ready to defend your dissertation, or you're an executive level leader who's getting ready for a big career-defining presentation, or maybe you're a student who is just trying to will yourself out of bed on a Friday morning to make it to school on time. And you're like, Zoom was pretty nice, right? Maybe you're a love-struck 20-something who is preparing a big proposal to your girlfriend. I mean, in all of these cases, there is something on the line. There's an achievement or a prize. And you know that to receive it, there's planning and preparation required. You can't show up to a big moment in life if you haven't prepared for the moment. And the same thing is true for our relationship with God. If we want to honor God with our time, if we want to experience the life that God has for us, the peace that he has for us in a chaotic world, then we've got to remember our why and put in practice to get that eternal prize. And so unlike that momentary achievement of some of those things, passing the test or having your girlfriend say yes, when we say yes to Jesus, our prize is not temporary, it's eternal. It can never be taken away from us. It's why when we point our whole lives towards Jesus, suddenly they have purpose even in the valleys. Even in those times of grief or loss or sadness, we have a bigger why. We have a greater joy. And so Paul says this, I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing, or in other words, just kind of going through the motions. I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. His words are so powerful. Because running with purpose does require us to have self-discipline. And this is not the type of discipline for when you're in trouble. Now, I know some of you who are type A people out there, you are my people, runners and type A people, you're my people. You're like, all right, discipline, right? Let's make a plan. I can do this. Some of you are students and you're like, discipline? My parents talk to me about discipline all the time. I didn't come to church so you could talk to me about discipline too, but stick with me, because this is not about our, we don't need a certain personality type to run the race that God set before us. No, that's why he designed the race for each of us individually, all going the same direction. And one of the things that I loved as I was studying this part of scripture is that it was actually written in ancient Greek. And in ancient Greek, that word discipline is translated as to strike under the eye, or literally to beat into submission, which is, it's graphic. We can acknowledge, that's graphic. But it also shows the intensity of Paul's words and desire here. I think Paul was trying to tell us, hey, if we want to run this race of life well, it's not going to be easy. It's going to require a whole lot of us. It's going to require us to beat out some old destructive thought patterns that the enemy has been trying to play on repeat and beat some of God's word into existence, into our mind. It's going to require us to beat in some new habits that prioritize God in a world that is telling us to prioritize anything. But he said, it's going to be difficult, but it's going to be worth it, because to win the race of life, we must run with purpose in every moment, every step. And so the question is, well, how do we do that? And I've learned so much about great training from running. And one of the big things I've learned about training is that it is not as much about running as you think it is. Now, I wish it were. I'm one of those people who's like, I have no interest in stretching or cross training or rest days. Like, no thank you. I'm like, I just want to run. But the truth is that those things are key to running well. And I think there are some principles in here for our spiritual lives when it comes to training, because if we want to train for the race that God set out before us, it's not just about doing everything, running around doing this, running around trying to fulfill that request. No, it's about doing everything with a greater purpose. And so I brought some of my favorite running things with me today, all right? And I used someone else's bag because my running bag does not smell great. So we'll see, all right? So couple of things that I think are so important if we want to train for the spiritual race that God set out before us. The first thing is we got to hydrate correctly. Now, if you're ever wondering, how do people like use water when they run? They get a fancy water bottle like this that probably costs $45, right? So they get something like this, because the first principle I think is so key is that we hydrate ourselves with the Word of God. We hydrate ourselves by spending time in God's presence. It's something that Jesus showed us over and over again. He would be with crowds of people, and then he would be with a small group of his followers. And then he would go off and he would spend time with God. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 puts it like this. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and he went out to an isolated place to pray. If we want to run this race well, we've got to stay hydrated with God's word. We've got to stay hydrated with God's presence. Here's what I know about running. Great runners do not start drinking water the days of the race. No, they start drinking water in all of the days leading up to the race. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. Purposeful followers of Jesus do not wait to like try to guzzle in God's presence in a moment of crisis. No, we use it as a way to refresh our souls every single day. Every single day. And then, of course, beyond hydrating ourselves, we all need some good support, right? We all need some good support. So I already mentioned the very first time that I started running, I had terrible support. So I went to the Delaware Running Company. They put me on a treadmill. They were like, hey, these are the shoes that you need. And they helped me find shoes with great support, because running without support is painful. And guess what? Life without support is painful. And so we need support with having other people in our lives who are going the same direction spiritually. We can't do this life alone. God's word puts it like this: let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage each other. We need God's people to encourage us, to challenge us, to cheer us on, to help carry us through some of life's most difficult moments. And let me just say it like this, guys, women are not the only people that need support, all right? You may call it something else, but you need it too. We all do. We need God's people. That's why we have something here that we call our J group, small groups of people who get together to do something that they enjoy together. And so I want to challenge you this weekend. Decide in advance you're going to be a part of a J group this summer. They kick off in a couple of weeks. Maybe for you, this is your time to register your own and lead a J group this summer so that you can help other people get in supportive relationships, because this life is way too hard to do it on our own. We need other people. And then the last thing is this. We need, great runners know that they need to stretch. Now, ironically, this is not mine. I borrowed it from somebody because I told you guys I am not good at stretching, okay? We'll get to this a little bit later in the message. This is the one I struggle the most with. And chances are you do too. So in running, you have to stretch so your muscles get some time to repair and get refreshed. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. We have to take a rest. It's why God designed something called a Sabbath, a day where we get to rest and really just enjoy his presence. He puts it like this in Isaiah. It says, keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor. Some of us are running so hard and we haven't taken the time to do this. Take a day off. Rest in his presence. And that's what the Sabbath is. It's this 24-hour period of time where we press stop on work so that instead we can rest. We rest from all of those have-to-dos in life, and we get to rest in the presence of God, which, just to be clear, does not mean, at first I was like, what does that mean? Do you just sit in a dark room by yourself all day and pray or read the Bible? No, that's not what it means. What's restful for each of us looks different, but it's a day to simply refresh ourselves in the Lord. And I know it's countercultural. So many of us can't even fathom the thought of doing that because we see ourselves primarily as human doings instead of how God designed us which is as human beings. He created us to be in his presence and be with his people. And so many of us miss those moments because we're running around doing without a purpose. And so Sabbath is an invitation to rest. And what you notice about all of those things, hydration, support, stretching, all of them are not about doing. They're about stopping and resting and rejuvenating ourselves in God's presence, because here's the real key. If we want to win the race of life, we must run with purpose. But look at this. To run with purpose, we must rest with purpose. It is counterintuitive, but if I've learned anything about the kingdom of God, it's counterintuitive. But when we trust him and take him at his word, we can receive the peace that our souls have been craving the whole time that we've been running around. I think some of us are trying to run with purpose, but we are disregarding the rhythm of resting well. And what I know is that we cannot run well indefinitely if we don't rest well. Eventually, it'll keep up with us. It has to. We're gonna hit that wall, and some of us feel so exhausted because we're trying to do all of these things for this person and that person. And again, for many of us, they're good things. They're things that help care for the world around us. They're things that help care for our family and our friends and our coworkers, but we are doing them all without taking a chance to rest. And so many of us, maybe even this weekend, find ourselves burned out. We find ourselves overwhelmed and stressed and wondering why, and maybe even questioning, God, where are you? I'm trying to do this for you, but where are you? And I think we've got to remember, this is not the life that God wants for us. The hustle life is not the life that God wants for us. In fact, I want to look at these words from Jesus, because Jesus tells us what he wants for us in this area. I love these words so much. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Rest. This is what Jesus has for us. This is what he invites us into. And in this part, Jesus says, hey, my yoke is easy. And I had to do a little studying to kind of figure this all out, but back in his day, a yoke was something that was attached to the necks of two animals. And that was attached to a plow so they could pull the plow through the field. Think about it. They were much stronger together than they were on their own. And I think for some of us, myself included at times over the last couple of weeks, we feel like we have the weight of the world around our necks. And some of us are carrying such a heavy weight, a weight with our health, or we're a single parent, or we're the only parent in our family who has a relationship with God, and we're just desperately trying to teach our kids how to love Jesus. And we're trying to make ends meet financially, and we're trying to serve the people around us, and we have this heavy weight around our neck, but Jesus says, you don't have to carry that weight alone. Link up with me. And what I love is he doesn't say, hey, that weight is going to be a little less heavy. No, no, no. He says, it's going to be light. It's going to be light, but you've got to trust me. And I know that saying yes to this rest thing can be so difficult. You know, some of us feel like we're weary and we're carrying this heavy burden, and saying yes to rest is so difficult because it means laying down control. and refusing to hold it all together. It means truly trusting God at His word. And I have struggled with this in such a deep way lately, because I'm trying to do it all, lead well at work and manage things in my family and get my oldest registered for kindergarten, which is like a full-time job with all of the things that they need. And we've been dealing with some minor medical things in our family, and doctor's appointments and referrals and tests, and it has felt so overwhelming. And so this week I took some time and I wrote out all of my fears associated with rest. Because that's really what it comes down to. I had all of these reasons about why I couldn't rest. And you know what I realized? That the reason that we don't rest is not because we don't have time. That's what we tell ourselves. But the real reason that we don't rest is because we don't trust the one who came to give our souls rest. And so we hold on to our fears more tightly than we hold on to the promises of God. And I think this weekend, Jesus is giving every single one of us an invitation to rest in Him, because that's what He wants for us. So where is it for you? Where do you keep running in your life instead of resting? Maybe you need to take time this week and say you're going to prioritize hydrating your soul with the word of God. Take a few minutes each day. Do what Brad encouraged us to do last weekend. Download the YouVersion app. Decide you're going to read the verse of the day. Hydrate your soul with God's word. And maybe for you, it means that you finally need to stop making all the excuses that you have about why you can't and you don't have time to get into J group, and find some people who can support you in this race of life. Or maybe for you, it's finally taking some time and taking a day off. I know, I said it, it's real. God said it first, but... And maybe for you, you're like, okay, 24 hours seems impossible. I can't take a full day. Well, let me tell you right now, this is what the enemy does. He tells us, if you can't do that, then don't do anything at all. And I am here to tell you, start somewhere. Take a few hours on a Saturday and say, God, I'm going to trust you. Because that's what taking a Sabbath does. It's not just about rest. It's about trusting God. So where do you need to trust Him this week? Or maybe for you, all you need to do is repeat these words of Jesus back to you. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He will give you rest if you decide to trust Him. And so I want to invite you this weekend, if you needed that reminder, that you can rest in the loving arms of a humble and gentle teacher, would you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray over us together today. God, we just are so thankful for your presence. We're thankful that we get to rest in you, God. We don't have to hold it all together, because God, at the end of the day, we don't hold anything together. You hold the whole world in your hands. And so, God, I pray in this moment that we will release our need for control, our fears, our doubt, our discouragement, all the things that keep us from taking you at your word. And we'll lay them at your feet and just allow our souls to rest in you. And as we all stay focused in this moment together, maybe for you, it's time to say yes to Jesus once and for all. Maybe you've just been running through life. I know a lot about that. I lived much of my life running for affirmation and achievement and success, and I was always tired and always running. And then I met Jesus. A Jesus who said, hey, come to me with all of that. All those heavy burdens, all that weight that you don't feel like you can carry, come to me. I'll give you rest. And I'd love to take a moment this weekend. If you have not yet said yes to Jesus once and for all, so that you no longer have to be in charge of your own life, but you can trust in the one who came to give you rest to be in charge of your life. And I want to invite you in just a moment to pray a prayer. It can be simple. You can use my words or you can use your own. But I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus. Say yes to a life of peace and rest in your soul. And so we're going to focus on God together again. God, we just come to you. And in this moment, I say yes to Jesus. I lay down all of my own fears and doubts and control, and I put my faith fully in you. I acknowledge that you paid the price for my sin on the cross, and I can be in right relationship with you simply by saying yes to Jesus. And as we all stay in this moment together, if you just prayed that prayer, would you just raise your hand? Hocasin, raise your hand. Yeah. If you're online, you can type faith in the chat. We believe that's the most important decision that you're ever going to make. And Journey, will you help me celebrate people saying yes to Jesus this weekend?